May 21st to June 21st. You were born under Gemini, sign of the twins. You're inclined to be flighty, but you've got a very active mind. You flit around from thought to thought. Still, it's nice to have you around. You're so practical. Gemini, this is you.
Time for the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
Indeed, we're drumming up business at the Radio Thrift Shop. Thanks for tuning in. We're grooving on the dusty side of music. From the dawn of recorded sound to music being released next week, Radio Thrift Shop is analog culture for a digital world. All right, we're going to start this week's program off with a guitarist known as Mundell Lowe, who recorded on Riverside Records back in the day. This is Speak Low.
Thank you.
More cowbell!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, The Move with Do Ya. And before that, we heard Gabor Szabo, Gypsy Queen. We started that set off with Mundell Low and Speak Low. This is indeed the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick. Thank you for tuning in. And now it is time for one of my favorite segments on Radio Thrift Shop. Yes, it's called Drop the Needle. There are a couple of rules for Drop the Needle. We're going to listen to something that I have never heard before. I must have purchased it from a thrift shop, and I must play at least 1 minute, no matter how bad it is, but I can play more if I like it. Today's selection is something I have never heard. I have heard of these people, but I've never heard them whatsoever. It is Sandler and Young, the In Person album, a very live recording, recorded on Capitol Records. I don't seem to find a date listed here, but here it is. Sandler and Young. We're going to drop the needle on side two, the Bill Bailey medley.
When a song becomes very popular in this country, such as Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey, it's a certainty that it's just as popular throughout Europe as well. And we'd like to give you our impression of how we think this song is being done all over the world. In France, they might do it like this. Chi-chi, oh, 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 oh. What the hell ever happened to her?
Au Folies Bergères à Paris, mesdames, mesdemoiselles et messieurs, une grande chanson d'Amérique. Bonjour, Guillaume Bailey, bonjour. Elle pleure, Bill Bailey, elle pleure toujours, déjà toute la journée. Je sais, j'ai tort, Bill Bailey, je sais, j'ai tort, mais je ferai de mon mieux. C'est formidable, Bailey, c'est formidable, mais je ferai tout pour la voir. C'est bien dommage, je serai bien sage, Bill Bailey, dis-moi pourquoi. Bailey, dis-moi pourquoi. Bailey, oh, dis-moi pourquoi. Guillaume, mon cher Guillaume, reviens donc, mon cher Guillaume. Bailey, reviens.
Okay, well, there you have it. This thing goes on for about 20 minutes, and oh dear.
Won't you come home, William Bailey? Won't you reconsider, old boy?
Okay. Yikes. And now for something I hope you'll really like. I've got a feature that is kind of new, and I'm going to be sharing my top 10 all-time favorite recordings that I think are just brilliant, beautiful, and perfect from the first note to last. And the first recording that I have picked for this list of 10, which is in no particular order, is Days of Future Past by The Moody Blues.
Thank you. has come to pass. The time of day doesn't last. Evening has earned its place today. I'm tired of working away.
Hey! takes a stare down from the posters on my wall, and each one has betrayed me. It's openness and style. And my best friend asked me, if you're so special, then why keep asking why? There is ample room there, so how come you're not a star shining in the sky?
Australian band The Steinbecks from a great double 7-inch vinyl release from a background, oh, I think the year 2000 on Drive-In Records. That's Two Star Motel. Before that, we heard The Growing Concern from 1967 back on Mainstream Records and The Other Side of Life. We started that extended set off with the Moody Blues and some tunes from Days of Future Past. This is DJ Frederick. You are listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, where everything is fair game, from disco to skiffle, from classical to electronica, from country to krautrock. There's always something different on the shelves here. CDs, records, 78s, tapes, you name it, we've got it. And man, this is one huge thrift shop. I've got quite the archive, so please keep listening. There'll be all kinds of tunes coming up in the coming weeks, months, and years. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to time travel back to the year 1900. But before that, I wanted to listen to a selection from a homemade CD that was released by Hand Eye Records back in the day in a series called The Folklore of the Moon. This is Beerth, who records as In Gowan Ring, song called Aurora.
Thank you. Where have you taken my love? was the year.
Recreating notable events of passing time. Reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world. That was the year.
Trade henceforth must be with Asia. The Pacific is our ocean. More and more, Europe will manufacture all it needs, secure from its colonies the most it consumes. Where shall we turn for consumers of our surplus? Geography answers the question. China is our natural customer. The Philippines give us a door at the base of all the East. Most future wars will be conflicts of commerce. The power that rules the Pacific, therefore, is the power that rules the world. And with the Philippines, that power is and will forever be the American Republic. Be it resolved, Mr. President.
Thus did Indiana's 37-year-old Senator Albert J. Beveridge, recently returned from the scene of the American Army's campaign to squelch the Philippine insurrection, deliver his maiden speech in the U.S. Senate, January 9, 1900. But what the fiery young Solon did not know, however, was that 34 years later, the Tidings-McDuffie Act would be passed by both houses of the U.S. Congress, signed by the President, ratified by the Filipino legislature, providing that in 1945, that archipelago of more than 7,000 islands would throw off American control, become the Republic of the Philippines.
1900, that was the year.
Frankfort, Kentucky, January 30. Democratic contender for the governorship, William Goble, walks toward the Capitol building with Colonel Jack Chin and Warden Eve Lillard at approximately 11 a.m.
I tell you, Bill, we got these Republicans licked.
I hope so, Jack.
I know so. Why, there isn't a thing they can do now. Oh. My God! Eve, get help!
Yeah.
Are you hurt, Goble? Did they get you?
They got me this time. I guess they killed me.
Wounds diagnosed by attendant physicians as unquestionably fatal, William Goble was administered the oath of office as governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 9 p.m. the following evening. 3 days later, he died. Exactly 1 hour after his death had been announced, J.C.W. Beckham was receiving the oath of office.
The Commonwealth of Kentucky and the Constitution of the United States of America, so help you God.
I do. May God give me strength to do my duty.
Subsequently, Republican Secretary of State Caleb Powers was indicted with several others, tried for complicity, convicted and sentenced to jail. After serving 8 years, 3 months and 3 days, he was pardoned, elected to the U.S. Congress by his Mountaineer constituents to serve his district 4 terms, 1911 to 1919.
1900, that was the year.
Washington, D.C., April 30.
At 12:40 p.m. today, President McKinley signed the bill which gives the recently annexed Hawaiian Islands a territorial form of government similar to Alaska, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Arizona. The right of suffrage has been granted to all men speaking and writing the American or Hawaiian language.
1900.
After months of bitter fighting to retain her rights in South Africa against an insurrection of Boers under the leadership of President of the Transvaal Republic, Paul Kruger, Great Britain found herself undergoing an excruciating period of anxiety. Her regulars, Her citizen yeomanry, her volunteers, were bottled up by Boer forces in three strategic points. Kimberley, Lady Smith, and Mafeking.
February 15.
Lord Roberts advances upon Kimberley, relieves the British forces at that point.
February 27.
The British army in Ladysmith is relieved, but Colonel Baden-Powell and his forces are still waging an heroic defense of Mafeking. The British Empire breathlessly awaits news. Finally, on the late evening of Friday, May 18, Fleet Street, London.
Have you heard from your Joey, Meg?
No. He ain't written to me since he and Baden-Powell was cut off by them Boers. It's terrible, this suspense.
Yes, I know how you feel about it. I haven't had a word from my boy since he left London. And I'm right worried about him, I am.
Oh, well, there's nothing to do but the wife.
Listen, Meg.
Baden-Powell's army relieved.
Hark! Do you hear what I hear?
No. No, it ain't possible.
Glory be! Mafeking is relieved. My joy is sighted.
The news of the historic relief of Mafeking meant victory for the British. The beginning of the decline of the Dutch Boers insurgency in South Africa. The retention of Great Britain's power. Throughout the empire, crowds went mad with exultation. Statesmen viewed with dignified triumph the liberation of debonair Baden-Powell and his men. Said Majority Leader in the House of Commons, Arthur James Balfour,
"The only news I have is through the courtesy of the press. We have no information at the War Office, nor would we have as soon as it would arrive through other channels. I need hardly say that we all trust and have good reason to think it is probably true."
That was the year
that the initials TR began to brand themselves with the flame of accomplishment into the political consciousness of the world. On June 19 at Philadelphia, William McKinley was nominated for a second-term campaign for the presidency of the U.S. With his new running mate for the vice presidency, Theodore Roosevelt, hero of San Juan Hill and governor of the state of New York. November 6, McKinley and Roosevelt received 292 electoral votes, defeating their Democratic opponents, William Jennings Bryan and Adlai Ewing Stevenson.
That was the year.
September 17.
By the terms of an act of the British Parliament, a proclamation was issued this day declaring that on and after January 1st, 1901, the people of New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia, Queensland, Tasmania, and Western Australia shall be united in a federal commonwealth under the name of the Commonwealth of Australia.
And the 48-year-old struggle to establish a unified central government upon the world's largest island was won.
That was the year.
July 29, 1900. Monza, Italy. Affable, beloved Humbert I, King of Italy, acclaimed by his people Humbert the Good, soldier, benefactor, scrupulous adherent to constitutional principles of government, stands under the warm, glowing sun of this Lombardy resort town, awarding medals to the victors in the gymnastic competition.
There. My congratulations to you, young man. Italy is proud of you today. Proud of yours. Now, as I bid you farewell and return to Rome, I want you to know that it has given me great pleasure to be among my own people after so long an absence from Monza. Arrivederci!
Carriage is waiting, Your Majesty.
Thank you.
Smiling, saluting, the 56-year-old monarch steps lithely to his carriage when, from out the milling throng...
The king! The king is shot!
The intended victim of two previous attempts upon his life, Humbert I died almost instantly. The assassin was quickly apprehended, virtually snatched from the fury of the mob, hurried to jail.
Now, what is your name?
Angelo Bresci.
Where are you from?
I'm a native of Tuscany, but I have been living for some time in America. I know no one here.
Why did you do this? What is your reason? What have you to say to the Italian people?
Tell them I came from America on purpose to kill Umberto. And I have my reasons.
Tearfully, pitiably, Queen Margarita made her statement to her people.
It is the greatest crime of the century. Umberto was good and faithful. No person could have loved his people more. He was one who bore ill to no one.
A few days later, the mortal remains of Humbert were laid to rest beside those of his father within the 2,000-year-old brick walls of the Church of Santa Maria Rotonda, the Roman Pantheon.
1900. That was the year.
From the myriad marquees of the theaters on Old Broadway, Thomas Alva Edison's bottles with hairpins inside blinked with such stellar names as Sarah Bernhardt in Camille, William H. Crane in David Harum, Maud Adams in The Little Minister, Henrietta Crossman in Mistress Nell, William Gillette in Sherlock Holmes, Nat Goodwin and Maxine Elliott in When We Were 21. Of course, it was the golden age of the American theater. And among musical shows which opened that year, one stands higher than all the rest in the number of performances. Floradora.
That song is, I've Gotta Love Someone, so it might as well be you. Anyways, that's our time trip back to the year 1900 here on the Radio Thrift Shop. I want to thank everyone for listening here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and there, wherever you may be listening, on K-Art, on Pinecone Radio, on Troubadour 1700, or on The Global Voice. Remember, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love.
Special.
much when I'm in town, but we don't get to talk much. This is a rock and roll show, sister, and I always knew that one day I'd be a star. If the right